Jacob.
Hey, what's up?
What do a casual night of celebration and inspiration shared by four prolific Black men and a pageant that creates a bonding opportunity for a mother and daughter have in common?
Whoa, I have no idea. What do they have in common?
Well, let's find out, because this week I watched One Night in Miami.
And this week I watched Miss Juneteenth.
And it's time to make
the movie connection. And away we go. Welcome in, everybody. Hi there. My name is Jacob, and I am here with my sister,
Casey.
And this is the podcast, The Movie Connection, which is a podcast in which, you know, in an effort to broaden our individual movie horizons, you know, and just to stay connected in general, we have decided to assign each other movies to watch every week, usually that we haven't seen before. And so we watch them, and then we meet up, and we discuss them, we review them, and we try to find out, is there any connection between these two different movies? It makes it more fun to watch, you know?
It does. Yeah. Any connection at all.
Any connection. Sometimes it's really broad. Sometimes the connections, it's like, oh my gosh, it's like we knew. And sometimes we do know, admittedly, but we always let you know that.
Yeah. It's pretty rare.
Yeah. Like this month, we're kicking off, it is Black History Month officially. At the time of this episode's release. And it is also, you know, in the second week of this month of February, we have a little thing called Valentine's Day.
Yeah, the Day of Love.
Yeah, so we're going to be, you know, having some movies that are kind of associated with those things. But still, like, there's more connections there, you know, than just those. So
yeah, absolutely. So it's kind of fun when we get to do these, like, theme months, you know?
I love a theme. Like, if you're familiar with our previous podcast, I love a theme.
Oh, man.
That's how we got the Summer of Sequels. Never
Boy,
again.
Did we regret that.
Never again.
Never again. I'll never watch those again.
Definitely not. Maybe Return to Neverland, just to see what all the fuss is about, because according to our listeners, Return to Neverland's where it's at.
I mean, Return to Neverland is great.
Yeah.
Also, The Lion King 2 is great.
Yep.
So we had a couple.
And then, there was Return to the Sea.
Yeah, The Little Mermaid. I feel like one of the Cinderellas was trash.
Yes. Second one.
Yeah.
But enough about that. Check out our podcast, The Disney Channel Surfers.
Little plug there.
But no, the movies we watched this week, so to kick off Black History Month, we assigned these both kind of historical, like Black-led movies.
Yeah.
Historical in the sense that they kind of deal with historical events and such.
Absolutely.
And Casey, I think it's your turn to start. So why don't you tell me in your own words a little something about
One Night in Miami. On a fateful February night in 1964, Cassius Clay wins heavyweight boxing champion of the world. He goes to the Hampton House Motel to meet his close friends, Malcolm X, Sam Cooke, and Jim Brown, for a night of reflection and celebration.
Mm-hmm.
Things get heated as they talk about their social duty and use their influence, how to use their influence to defend their rights and empower all Black people.
Hell yeah. Beautiful synopsis. Yeah.
Thank you.
And like, so, yeah, this was kind of tricky to come up with questions, I think, with both of these movies, because...
Yes, I had a hard time as well with mine.
Yeah, and I think at the root of it is, here's the deal, folks, like, full disclosure, like, we're two white folks.
We are.
I'm all, you know, so yeah, there's that. So, first and foremost, I think what we should say is, if you're white, like, watch these movies, to educate yourself, because they both do offer some really educational, like, particularly points of view and, like, thoughts on the entire struggle of, you know, the Black American in particular. Mm-hmm. And then this movie is great to start with because it focuses on that pretty turbulent era in the in the movement. Kind of, I think, it, for many, like, the beginning of the, the civil rights movement and everything like that. And so it's kind of hard for us to talk about because it is so obviously tied to this group of Americans. Like, we want to hear their point of view. So
And it's definitely something that we can, like, empathize with, but we can't put ourselves in their shoes, right?
Exactly. So
we just want to be, like, cautious and caring in the way that we question these movies.
Yep.
Or have questions about the movies.
And that's why at the heart of it, like, I think we can connect with aspects of all of these characters and everything like that.
Absolutely.
But at the end of the day, it is, we have to be honest with ourselves and say, like, the experience is going to be different. And a lot of people need to kind of just accept that, because only then, like, can we do the work that needs to be done to move forward. Like, too many people are resistant to the idea that it's like, you don't think that the color of your skin has, like, made life a little easier for you, perhaps, in America.
It definitely has.
Yeah. And it's like, sometimes, like, I have to check myself, like, sometimes, because you forget. It's easy to, lose sight of that stuff. But as long as you, again, hold yourself accountable, hold others accountable.
And put the work in as much as you can.
Right. And educate yourself. And this movie's a great place to start, really. So
it is. It's awesome.
We've got four pretty prolific Black men associated with the civil rights movement in their own way. Like, in particular, I think Malcolm X kind of dwarfs all of these guys. And some of it's like, Cassius Clay, who goes on to become Muhammad Ali, by the way, folks. He's definitely got a hand in the civil rights movement in his own way. Sam Cooke, admittedly, like, I maybe had heard some of his songs, but I didn't really know the name, maybe. So that was cool to learn about. And then Jim Brown, like, I'm a little familiar with his movies, but didn't realize that he was a football star first. So, I wanted to start with just these individuals. Like, what do you think they kind of, at least in this movie, I didn't, like, do too much research outside of it and stuff like that. But what does this movie have to say about what these guys are contributing to this impending movement and everything like that that's coming? And let's kind of just look at them individually and kind of talk about them.
Sure.
Because they've all got great moments in this movie, thank goodness.
They do. They do.
So I wanted to start with, like, let's start with Jim Brown, let's say. All right? And then And maybe, let's talk about the actors, maybe? Let me pull that up.
Why don't you pull that up?
All right.
And I'll kind of say, like, what I think Jim in the movie world was, like, moving towards, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's it. Starting with Jim Brown, who was played by Mr. Aldous Hodge, who has kind of a connection to our home, where we live, Portland. He was in the show Leverage.
Cool.
There you go. So, Mr. Jim Brown, what's this movie got to say about Mr. Jim Brown?
Yeah, with Jim Brown, like, I think, you know, after this, like, moving forward, he's going to try to create more, like, Black movies, obviously. Towards the end, we see, like, he's, like, quitting football. He's, like, going to become a movie star, and he's working on, you know, creating more representation in that way.
Right. So he kind of, Jim, he was kind of the great catalyst, the guy in the middle. Like, him and Muhammad Ali kind of fit this role, and they both kind of take something different away from the altercations that keep occurring between Sam and Malcolm.
Yeah, it's nice to see, like, that, you know, there was extremes then, there are now. And it's nice to see when some people, like, hang out with the two extremes, but they're somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
For me, like, Jimmy, like, acted very much as the peacemaker.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was very
I thought of him as the big brother. Like, I kept getting that energy, like, from him. Like, he was very aware of everybody else's energy, knew, like, he wasn't going to let a fight break out.
Yes. Definitely, like, and wise and insightful. Like you said, like, he did, like, pay attention to what everybody else was saying and doing. And, like, can talk to them so calmly.
Mm-hmm. I love the moment when, like, it kind of reaches its climax. And he's like, woo, you guys are pulling out the knives. If I'm getting cut, like, people are getting hurt or something like that. Something really, something really cool.
It was awesome. And, you know, in real life, he's, like, maybe the only one that I didn't really recognize his name, if I'm being honest.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I looked him up and I read a little bit about him and I listened to, like, a little interview that he did. Talking about these guys, which was cool.
That's cool.
It's, like, just a little five-minute interview.
Badass.
On YouTube.
Cool.
Yeah, he's really cool.
Yeah.
He's, like, a cool dude.
And
but
he
he's
was...
very sports-centered. And so that is probably why I've never heard of him.
Right. Definitely. Yeah, not big on sports.
Yeah.
Perfect. So other, and I'm glad that they didn't have three, like we have four characters going on here. So it's not just this extreme in the middle. We kind of have, it's an interesting dynamic. Cause I mean, and then I don't know if you did this. I think I might've said like one word to describe Jim.
Yeah. I think that the word I would use to describe Jim is insightful.
Yeah. Nice. Nice. And he kind of comes in, he really like ties everything up in a bow for me. Like, he's the one who puts it best in a lot of ways.
Oh yeah. He's like a very essential character.
Yeah. Really awesome. And then we got, he's the youngest of these groups, again, by a significant number, I think. And it's Cassius Clay, who goes on to become Muhammad Ali. And this was played by, wait for it. Oh, don't wait for that. No. Eli Gorey, all right?
Eli Gorey. He did great.
He was great. And he...
I mean, they're all great, though.
Yes, yes. Now, I don't think there's been, like, Jim Brown biopics. Not that I'm Noah, but again, I'm not very aware of his stuff.
Right.
Except for his movies. I'm a little familiar. But anyway, there's been Muhammad Ali movies, and it's really, and then there's been Malcolm X movies, which we'll get to that. But this kid does a really good job at not doing too much of an impression, but also he captures the energy of that young Muhammad Ali very well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, yeah, what do you think he has to contribute in this, according to the movie?
Yes. So I think that he's ready to keep showing the world, you know, that he's, like, a strong black man. I think, like, going forward, obviously, towards the end, we see that he's, like, gonna talk to everybody about religion.
Yeah.
You know, and also kind of brings Malcolm and his friendship forward when he does that press release. And, you know, back then, Malcolm X was like a very known figure. And so when you pull that person with you publicly, like you're showing that you support them and you believe in their views, right?
Right, right. Taking a stance and everything. And yeah, at the time, like, yeah, it was, yeah, he definitely had a reputation. And I think they say as much in this movie. And I'm really glad, like, you know, we had the typical public school education that a lot of kids get, I think, which is Martin Luther King, good black man. Malcolm X.
Peaceful.
Yes. Malcolm X. Yeah. Too controversial, too extreme, too radical.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just calm down. Yeah. You know, and a very, very white position and so forth. But I love that through the years, though, it's all about nuance. Like, do the work, like, look into it. And no, there's a lot more to both of these figures. And Malcolm X, like, way more complex. I think everybody will agree, like, he did have some extremes. But everybody does. And especially like public figures, you can't be perfect all the time. Martin Luther King had his moments too. Whatever. And so Muhammad Ali definitely kind of aligns himself with Malcolm X a little more. I like that he is going through, he is kind of struggling with it a bit.
Yeah.
And it seems like it's a battle for his soul between these two. But yeah, I really liked the young energy and very, he could have easily been unlikable with the showmanship and stuff, but no, I thought it was great and actually made for some good comedy at times and was relatable.
I agree. And they did a really good job too of like, you know, showing him turn that part of him off when he went to hang out with his friends, right?
Right.
So he wasn't like this big, like, I'm the best, I'm going to kill everybody all the time. Yeah. It was just in front of those cameras.
Yeah.
And then when he was with his friends, he was actually very laid back and chill and, you know.
A little insecure even, like, which definitely doesn't show up. So that was great. Yeah, you're right. And we got a cool, I love how it, you know, gave you a little insight as to why he does that, I maybe had heard, but I forgot or something like that. I really like that they clued us in, like it's based off of a wrestler or something he really admired. So
yeah,
kind of cool. Awesome. So now we move on to the kind of the big guys, right? So let's talk about Malcolm X. We kind of moved into it a little bit. At the time, pretty controversial dude. So what's this got to say about Malcolm? Played by, neglect to mention. Yeah. it was played by Kingsley Ben-Adir. Good actor. Yes. And
Yes. So, I mean, we see Malcolm sort of like, we see him start to feel like kind of paranoid, like he's got the bodyguards. You know, he's a pretty big figure at this point, like you said earlier. He's ready to branch into his own branch of like the Islamic religion.
Yes.
And bring people with him, which is a big deal.
Yep. And this was when doom started to loom, you know, because you don't do that.
Right. And at the end, you know, we see like his house was on fire.
Yeah, this was a big moment. Yep.
Yeah, him and his family got out, but, you know, in the very, very end, we see, like, he's written an autobiography.
Yes.
To, you know, memorialize himself, because he's not sure what's going to come.
Exactly, and it was creepy, it's a really, the Malcolm X story is very sad, because, yes, at the end, there was this sense of, like, you know, death was looming, and, like, what that must feel like, you know, oh my God.
So sad.
Yeah. And this guy does a really good job. It is not unfortunate. There's a great movie called Malcolm X starring Denzel Washington. And so all performances, like there haven't been many movies made about Malcolm X since because I think people are a little intimidated for good reason.
Right.
Denzel Washington channeled Malcolm X to a T. I think some people think that he didn't necessarily look like him. I feel like he captured the facial expressions perfectly, even if he didn't look like him. Ben-Adir maybe looks a little bit more like him, especially this era of Malcolm X. So that was great. And I really liked seeing that he was doing his own thing, not trying to... you know, I think knowing that it's like, people are going to compare me to Denzel, but nope, I'm sticking to my own thing.
Yeah, I think he portrayed him really well.
Yeah.
And did his own thing. And, you know, I felt like he looked the part and he definitely was acting the right way.
Right.
And I really liked that they brought in his, like, passion that he has for photography.
Yes.
That was something I actually didn't
know about it. Right.
Yeah, it was something I learned in one of my art history classes. But it's not something that I ever knew from any other source of media or anything. So it's great. It was like very cool to see that showcased here, you know?
Really cool. Because, that was a good, fun takeaway for me. Because, I wasn't aware. But apparently, it was a big thing that a lot of people gloss over. Yeah, he was into photography. Yeah. Crazy. Awesome. Malcolm X, very dynamic figure. makes a lot of really good points, and also, you know, makes some points where I'm just like, you're missing something there. Mm-hmm. And then now we're on to Sam Cooke.
Oh, did you want me to, I forgot to say my Muhammad Ali word.
Yeah, let's do that. So Muhammad Ali, one word for this guy.
Resilient.
Yeah. Rolls with the punches. Yep. And unfortunately, he's got.
Yeah.
We got a couple of guys with the little doom hanging over them. Yeah.
I know, it's bad.
And then, so Malcolm X, one word. This is got to be interesting.
Determined.
Yeah, right. And very much so. Agree with ambitious. Him or disagree with him. It's like, man, yeah. You are determined. Yes. And then Sam Cooke, played by the lovely Mr. Leslie Odom Jr.
I love him so much.
Yeah.
What can I say?
Yeah.
Sam, so, you know, going forward, he is going to really, break into the music scene. We already know that he's, sort of trying to blend the barriers, but by the end of it, he's really trying to blend those barriers.
And I liked that it was really, good how Malcolm kind of held him to task with it, where it's just like, you are doing your part, but also this, it was really, really well done.
But also, you're still playing separate shows, you're still, you're not holding the white man responsible, there's definitely some stuff that he had pointed out that was important.
Yeah.
But I think that Sam was trying the way that he knew how, without
exactly
trying to be confrontational too, you know?
Exactly. Because not everybody can be Malcolm X, you know?
Right. That's true.
Yeah.
And I love that he mentioned too, I have my own label, I have black artists.
Yes.
Because that in itself, even if it's not front and center first page news, it's super important to do that behind the scenes work,
yes,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Precisely.
So he's definitely, doing his part as well, just not as loudly as
exactly them. And I love how it was really well done, this conflict between these two figures.
Yeah.
Before we move on, that kind of segues into my next question, but before we move on to that, a word to describe Sam?
My word for Sam was apprehensive.
Yeah. Apprehensive. Nice.
Yeah, because he was really unsure too about the religion, and he felt like he was on the defense the whole night too.
Yeah. Right. Right. And, definitely. Really well done. I loved, this was the first, I think, movie role I saw Leslie Odom Jr. in that I was aware of. And, it made me be oh fuck, this guy is not just a triple threat. He's a quadruple threat.
He just does everything, man. and I'll just follow him wherever he goes.
He's got a beautiful voice, no debating that. He's got the theatrical prowess that he showed in Hamilton. And then he's got this. He's very, the camera does quite admire him.
Yeah, and he's definitely, I realized that a big part of the movie was the conflict between the two, but he is definitely a scene stealer,
Yeah, right.
He's just, it's good that they made it that way, because he couldn't have been one of the other characters.
Absolutely.
I
do feel because what I realized that was so compelling about him in that Hamilton musical I got to watch on Disney Plus, the camera gets really in there, and he does have this facial expression, so he is begging to be on camera. Where it's this guy sells so much in his face.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. So we've talked about our four figures and what the movie has to say about what they're contributing to the civil rights movement going forward. But at the heart of this, the focus is, the focus of the conflict seems to rest on the differing views and approaches of Malcolm X and Sam. Did you side with maybe one view over the other, or maybe what were some of the good points each was making that you?
I think I'm more like Muhammad or Jimmy. I'm somewhere in the middle.
Right.
You know, because part of me, like, when I got finished watching this, part of me wanted to go, like, out onto the streets to protest, you know? Like, so, like, that's the Malcolm X part of me that's like, I have to do something right now. Like, I want to do something. But, like, I think that the work Sam is doing, like I said, it might not be as front and center as what Malcolm's doing, but it's, like, also really important work.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, you don't always need to, like, be shouting from the rooftops what you're doing to be making a difference.
Yeah, right.
So, I don't know. It's too hard.
It's tough.
Because, like, I do understand what Malcolm's saying, too. Like, if we didn't have people like Malcolm X, like, you know, taking stands for things, like, maybe nobody else would have.
Yeah,
you know?
No progress would be made, really.
Things wouldn't get done, yeah.
Because he's, like, pushing for, like, black power, black pride. Like, you know, you do need that. Like, that makes a lot of white people nervous because it's like, oh, no. Well, but no, we're all people, right? It's like, not in this world. Like, you know. I mean, yes, we are. But no, but you have to admit, like, yeah, things are rigged in such a way that skin color is a factor.
It is, absolutely.
Like it or not. And, like, yeah, we have to admit that. That way we can fucking dismantle it and, like, you know, fix it. That would be great.
Right.
With that in mind, like, I really, like, yeah, Sam makes some good points. And he, like, I love, they rub off on each other is the good, the good thing.
They do.
Because Sam is pushed to, it's like, okay, no, I'm gonna, change is gonna come. I'm gonna make that song.
Yeah, I love that.
You know, Malcolm kind of pissed me off for a little bit there, where he's just like, it's like, what more, like, who are you to dictate what anybody does? Like, but I also get the passion and the drive and the fact that to him it's war, like, you know, and understandable, like, especially at this time, like,
he's like, if we don't all take charge, like, then nothing will come of it.
It'll just die out.
I do understand.
Absolutely.
Like, during the Black Lives Matter movement, too. Like, I was just like, everybody needs to be doing everything they can.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is kind of perfect time, like, around when this movie came out, too. So, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, really good point. Like, he pissed me off, but then made some really good points. And, yeah, it was really good.
Yeah.
Really good conflict between these two. Like, I forgot how rewatchable some of these scenes are, so.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Awesome. So, you know, one big thing that I wrestled with is, like, and what Malcolm seemed to be pushing is, like, so do celebrities owe their community, or should they be left alone to just do as they see fit? Because it felt like, at certain points, Malcolm was saying, it's like, hey, man, you've got power now at, you know, in your position, and you have a responsibility of sorts to, like, kind of do something about it for the community and stuff. Sam had a good point, too, where it's like, you know, I do that, but also, you know, like, I want to make my music, my stuff, and everything.
Right, he's like, I don't want to be blacklisted or, you know, shunned or whatever, but, I don't know. That's, like, such a tricky thing, right? And I think we saw a lot of it recently when the Black Lives Matter movement happened. We saw a lot of celebrities come forward and offer, you know, support in whatever way they could, you know, buying locally from black businesses and things, and being very vocal about it and sharing those awesome businesses with the world via their social medias. You know, we had, like David Schwimmer from Friends, marching in Black Lives Matters, you know, protests.
Surprising Joaquin Phoenix speeches at the Oscars.
Yes.
Yeah.
So in a way, like, I sort of do agree with Malcolm because I'm just like,
it's a, like, should. It's about power. Like, it's unfortunate where it's just like, again, it's one of those things we have to admit to ourselves in America. Celebrities do have power here. Like,
well, yeah, and it's
we,
like,
kind of,
you know,
elected one as a president, lest we forget.
Yeah, no, and it's also about privilege, right? These guys, they still are facing racism, but they're in a spot of more privilege than the other black people.
Yeah.
And so I think, especially during this time,
that,
like, I would probably more agree with Malcolm in that way, because it's just like, no, you should be, like, fighting the
outraged
good fight.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And yeah, that's the other thing, is the time at which this takes place, like, context does matter, I think, sometimes.
It does.
Like, and especially in this case where, like, yeah, think of, like, yeah, talking about putting yourself in some shoes, like, put yourself in the shoes where growing up in America during that time, every day faced with headlines of, like, you know, yeah.
And, like, being
we got a taste of it during, like, the, yeah, during the recent Black Lives Matter movement, but yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing to compare.
Obviously, yeah. Absolutely.
Crazy. Awesome. So that's basically all I had. So let's move on to our favorite questions.
Let's do it.
Favorites. So, I mean, it's hard. I mean, we got some awesome fucking performances here, but we got to pick one. And but the good news is, with our new format, you get one, and then
and then a bonus,
and then a bonus, and then an honorable mention. So, out of these awesome performances going on here, who would you say was your favorite performance?
My favorite was definitely Leslie Odom Jr. He's just so
it's
good
crazy.
And believable, and like anytime I get to hear him sing, and I heard him sing so much, it was so great. Yeah. I loved that so much. He really just brought this character to life.
Yeah,
it was awesome.
Right, good choice. And then honorable mention.
It would have to go to Kingsley Ben-Adir.
Oh, great!
Who played Malcolm X.
Malcolm X.
He's so good. I will say, like, they all of these guys were amazing.
Yeah.
And they all, like, became their characters, like, in
Absolutely.
A really good and real way.
Right.
But, like, I just was really moved by these two characters because of the conflict and because of what they were talking about.
Totes.
That they had to win.
Absolutely. And, you know, this is based on a play, I guess, which totally makes sense. Like, I mean, I think I would have made that connection, like, watching the movie. I was like, this isn't a play, like, this should be a play, like, very dialogue driven. I mean, most of it takes place in the one room, obviously, so, you know, perfectly lends itself. And you know what, it made me want to see this play, like,
me too.
Like, yeah,
me too.
And honestly, like, with like all different casts and stuff, I wouldn't mind seeing this exact cast though in the theater play, like,
oh, that would be cool. That would be a dream.
Yeah. Cool. So favorite scene.
Yeah, my favorite scene was when Malcolm told the story of Sam's night in Boston with the a cappella version of the Chain Gang.
Yeah, that was a great scene. You're right. Yeah.
That scene, like, really was, like I got goosebumps. It was so good.
That,
like,
really...
I loved it. And it really humanized Malcolm.
Yes. It beautifully illustrates what I think, like, is the ideal. Like, yeah.
Right. Yeah, it was lovely. And the way Malcolm told the story, too, was so sweet. And you can see, like, you're sort of like, why are they friends? You know?
Yeah.
But, like, you can really see, like, oh, he's actually, like, a wonderful friend who supports him. He doesn't even tell him, and he goes to his shows, and he hides in the back. Like, that's so sweet, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, right, right. Totes.
And the way he tells it is, like, such a proud moment, which is so nice. And it totally does push Sam to then... sing his other song, you know,
so
on
good.
Television.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. Which that song, like, yeah, that gave me goosebumps. And I was like, God damn, like,
it's
like,
a
yeah,
good
they
song.
Had to save that for the end. Like, they can't, like, Leslie Odom Jr. just, yeah.
he's too good. I love, like, I like some of Sam Cooke's songs. Like,
yes.
I remember listening to Chain Gang, like, on the radio growing up. Our parents always listen to older music.
Yeah.
And that would play, like, sometimes, you know, on the way to grandma's house or whatever, like, in our random assortment.
Right.
yeah, and some of his other songs, too. But, yeah, just really enjoyed it.
And, like, would like to point out, Sam Cooke himself is a great singer. And, like, loved all of his originals, of course. Leslie
really
Odom
good.
Jr. does a pretty good version of him, though, too. Like,
yeah, he does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, oh yeah, yeah. Favorite quotation.
That's also from Sam. Everybody talks about wanting a piece of the pie. Well, I don't want the goddamn, oh, Well, I don't. I want the goddamn recipe.
Yeah, sorry. That's good shit.
Did not mean to butcher that. Yeah.
Good stuff.
So good.
Really
love
good.
Love that.
A lot of good quotes in this, though, of course, because it's a play. Like,
oh, so many. There were so many quotable parts.
Right.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, cool. I think that wraps that up. Oh, okay, so would you rewatch and recommend?
Yes and yes.
Yeah, for sure. And out of 5 stars, how many stars do you give One Night in Miami, ...
5 stars.
Hell yeah.
It's so good.
It's still
What's
good.
Not to like?
And really educational, but not in a overbearing way.
Right.
It moves pretty nicely for being, I think it's like 2 hours exactly or a little over.
Yep.
Handles it really well. I mean, there's so many, like, we couldn't get around all the iconic scenes, but the way they introduce each character too is awesome. Like Jim Brown, Beau Bridges, holy shit, what a racist son of a bitch.
Yeah.
That was crazy. Like, I love how they hit you with that.
I love it too. Yeah.
And this was Regina King, directed by Regina King, who I fucking love.
She is awesome.
Regina King as an actor, all the way back to when she was in 227, which was a sitcom, and then of course on to her more iconic shit like the fucking Boondocks, and then the new Watchmen miniseries, which was phenomenal.
Oh, it was so good.
She's just killing it, like, and she's just a really, I really like her as an actress. And
yeah, me too. She's awesome.
Just wanted to mention that because she's great. So awesome. So that wraps up One Night in Miami. I think it is my turn. So here we go with, in my own words, a little synopsis for a movie called Miss Juneteenth. Turquoise, a young mother who sees an opportunity to ensure her daughter's bright future, enrolls her daughter, Kai, into the Miss Juneteenth pageant, a competition for aspiring black girls to be awarded a scholarship into the college of their choice. Kai is pretty familiar with the pageant and what it means to her mom, who was crowned Miss Juneteenth in her youth, but never saw the success that some of her fellow winners would see. She never really got away from her hometown and fell for an infuriating yet loving boyfriend who can't seem to escape his own circumstances. Turquoise starts to question whose dreams is she really seeking to fulfill as the pageant grows closer. Kai, though supportive of her mother's wishes, she would love to take her own path, one that may be less traditional, but at least something she could enjoy being a part of. We see the mother and daughter grow to understand one another more deeply and ultimately take charge of their futures.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the ticket. We got a pageant. Like, this time it's really called a pageant. I forget what they called it in Miss Congeniality.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
Yeah, but they made a point to be like, no, this is a, you know. And this isn't a, I didn't want to say, it's not a beauty pageant, because it's more than that, you know.
It is, yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. This is a real thing
right.
in Texas.
In Texas, and that kind of makes more sense.
Yeah.
Juneteenth is a very important time, like, more and more, I think I'm getting more used to. I never really liked 4th of July. Kind of a boring and like stupid, kind of lame holiday where it's just like, I'm confused. We got Independence Day. Wait, we got Independence Day, and then we got this day. We got President's Day. Like all these American holidays like kind of blend together.
Mm-hmm.
So, but Juneteenth, like, at least makes more sense. Like, that's when we're truly free. Like, when Black Americans are free. Like,
mm-hmm.
yeah. So, I'm more into, like, celebrating around June 19th these days. As opposed to July 4th. Because, what the fuck? It's a day. Like, you know, does it really matter? Like, June 19th just seems more accurate to me to what we're celebrating here.
Right.
Yeah.
I totally agree. Yeah, 4th of July has always been a weird one, too, because it's like there's so many drunk drivers and, like, fireworks are just so, like...
Kind of boring.
Well, they're just so loud. Like, for me,
yeah.
I have sensory issues sometimes, and fireworks really stress me out sometimes.
Yeah.
Even though, like, I look at them and I think they're really pretty, it's like the big booms really, like, make me anxious.
Yeah. for sure.
But no, totally. My work actually started giving us, and I know a lot of like corporations are doing this now, like it's a paid holiday.
Nice. June 19th? Vote. Good. Yes. Good.
And so they're like recognizing it, and they're like, you know, trying to teach people about it, which I think is really cool.
Makes way more sense. Like, it's like, oh, like, yeah, when people point it out to me, it's like, well, first of all, if you didn't know, like, it's like, oh, wait, Black people weren't really free until it's like, yeah, you know, America.
We definitely didn't, or at least I didn't learn, like, about Juneteenth in school.
Yes, yes.
I didn't learn about it until I was a full-fledged adult who had Black friends.
And this is the cautionary tale about public school system. Like, yeah it is, like, and this is, like, an example of, like, whitewashing and all this stuff. Like, yeah. No, they made a point to, like, yeah, not teach us or and not spend too much time either on the civil rights movement and stuff like that. And yeah, June 19th. Yeah, so, yeah, public school system, get your shit together. What's going on?
Just get it together, man.
So Miss Juneteenth, which I don't know. I want to read more, like, people's points of view on this movie because... it seems like a great thing, but also, like, could be a controversial event also, and especially, like, the way pageant politics work in general, how much of this is really sticking to the point you're trying to make.
Right.
That's stuff like that.
That's going to feed nicely into one of my questions.
Great.
Which is cool, but yeah,
I liked the indie feel of this movie overall. Like,
me too.
Took me a little bit to get a hold of it, but it's like, oh, this feels very, like, intimate and personal. And come to find out, it's written and directed by the same woman, and I think very much based on her upbringing. I think she grew up in Texas, and I think she was part of the Miss Juneteenth contest. Mm-hmm. Or pageant or whatever
you want to call it.
I think it's even called like a scholarship program at some point, you know.
Right.
At the end of the day, like, pretty good thing. Like, I think it's a good thing. Grants are always good.
Yeah, I especially love the outcome of, like, okay, well, whoever wins is going to get, you know, free college at a all black university, which is even, like, cooler. Like, that's so amazing.
Yeah.
Definitely. That part of it is really good. There are parts of it that I think are problematic, but
yeah, exactly.
We'll
like
in a little bit,
for sure. Great. But no, great. Like, little known actors. I think a lot of these actors, it was like kind of their first time on camera.
Yeah.
So really good job. I really liked the indie feel. I like a good indie movie, and this definitely qualifies.
Yeah, I totally agree.
For sure. It snuck by me, too. Didn't know anything about it.
Yeah, it was one of those that I think somebody I know told me about it, and that's how I found out about it. Because it would have snuck by me, too, because it's like, you know, not... It wasn't really like I didn't see anything about it, you know?
Yeah. Totes. Totes my goats.
Totes my goats. Are you ready for some Q&A?
Yeah, Q&A me.
Let's do it. All right. Did you feel like Turquoise was trying to relive her youth? Or do you feel like she was more just trying to help her daughter get ahead in the only way she knew how?
Mm.
Or maybe like a mixture of both?
For sure. Definitely a mixture of both. Turquoise it's kind of a frustrating character at times.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's at the root of it. It's because there are moments where it really feels like, you're not even like hiding it. You are reliving you are reliving your youth. She's in the same dress. She's going through a lot of the same motions. We got the same poem going on here. So that was definitely kind of an issue. But then there were moments where she seemed open to the idea of like, no, you're right. Like, you've got a point, like, you got to find your own way, but also it's hard for me.
Yeah, because I think, too, like, they didn't really go into heavy detail about this, but I think she must have gotten pregnant with her, like, right after her winning the pageant and not getting to go to college.
See, that's what they needed to make that a little more clear. They needed to make that connection maybe a little more clear. Because, yeah, I think that's what we're supposed to take away. Because they make a big deal about how she didn't really... Yeah, get the full benefits of the program and stuff like that. And how else would that be except, like, yeah, she must have, yeah.
Fallen pregnant right away, which also does explain, like, how she reacts to seeing her literally sit next to a boy at a park. right. Little extreme mom.
Yeah, right, true.
Come running up to me.
I don't
want to
see you. It's like, what? Ma'am?
But, you. Like, I think it is just, like, she's terrified that she's going to make, you know, the same choices that she did. I don't want to say they were mistakes because she, like, clearly really loves her daughter. But...
See, yeah, and I wish they would have pushed that a little more, too, because it's like, oh, hold on. Like, are you regretting, like, having your daughter?
I think
you better...
she wishes her life turned out differently, you know?
Yeah, which fair enough. Like, I think, yeah, that's human. But at the same, you kind of also need to come around to the fact that it's like, but... all is good though, right? Like, you wouldn't like fucking change anything, like,
right yeah. And she's such a hard ass too that, like, it's hard to see those pieces, you know.
Yeah,
like you said, they should have maybe spelled that out a little more. But yeah, I did do the math because at the end she was like, oh, I'm Miss Juneteenth from 2003
yeah,
or
four
something. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and so I did the math and I'm like, oh, okay, so she literally, like, had her right after, like, she got pregnant right after the pageant.
Yeah,
because this came out, I think, in 2020.
Got it. Right.
So yeah, I was like, okay, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so, she wants. I think she really wants to, like, help her move forward.
Yes, absolutely. Like, she just, but yeah, like you said, I feel like she thinks, but yeah, this is a way, like, you know, this is a way, like, and I can actually contribute, like, you know. This is hard for some parents because it's like you get that, I think it's like, oh, don't stray too far from the path. Like, and especially, you know, and especially, again, taking into account Black History Month, like skin color. Like,
yeah.
In particular, parents, like, generational issues, man, you know, like, parents are very protective of their legacy and, like, especially want to see their kids succeed in this tough world ahead of them and everything, so it's understandable. But hey, let her be her own, like,
mm-hmm.
I'm really glad that she was allowed to do that poem her own way at the end there.
Yeah, so my next question was, did you like Kai's twist on the poem? A Phenomenal Woman is the name of that poem.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It's a little again, it's knocking on the door of modern dance, so it gets uncomfortable. But it was still pretty fun. Like, it was cute. Like, I think the actress sells it very well and everything.
Her smile's so cute.
I roll my eyes a little bit, but no, at the end of the day, it's like, no, like, she's committed to it. So, yeah, that's the important thing. If she was more insecure, it wouldn't have been effective or whatever.
Yeah, like, would not have worked at all.
Yeah, but
no, she rocked it.
Yeah.
I love that she, like, you know, her mom had, like, painstakingly straightened her hair.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And she, like, went and she sprayed
big
it
hair.
And frizzed it up and made it into an afro, and it was fucking cool. It was powerful.
Yes. And I did, like, that's when, like, again, like, yeah, turquoise kind of frustrated me in that moment. Like, I wanted her to be more happy for her by the end of it, and it was too steeped in regret a little bit, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I did like that she stood up, like, and clapped for her when she did that dance.
True. Okay. Yeah, I did. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah.
But she was totally horrified at first.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you think that this movie does in showing lower class, especially Black communities, and some of the issues that they face?
Mm. See, yeah. Yeah, this is part of some of the problematic stuff. Some of these are stereotypes, but they seem to do it in a real way because we got the deadbeat dad thing going on. Mm-hmm. But he seems to be making an effort. But it still always ends with
not quite enough.
Yeah, it's always, they didn't do enough work where it's just like, oh, he just didn't show up and moving on. Like, you know, like, seemed a little cliche. And same with, and then, man, that mom, like, yeah, that was pretty frustrating me. It felt a little forced at times, but, you know, for dramatic purposes, it works, but got too extreme. Like, especially, like, gaslighting her into coming into that weird prayer circle thing. Like,
that was so crazy.
Yeah.
I don't even know what else to say.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That was just like such a weird scene. And what was weird, like in my real life, was that same day that I watched Juneteenth for the podcast, you know, the other day, I got a handwritten letter in the mail from some Jehovah's Witnesses.
Oh, God.
Trying to, like, convert me into their church. And I, like, literally had just watched that scene, and I was like, what is happening?
They do have one good scene with her, but the mother and daughter kind of thing. But then she does, and then she pulls that shit, and she's like, okay, yeah, no, we're done.
Yeah, it sucks, too, because when she, like, she was dropping Kai off, and the grandma, like, seemed so sweet and friendly. And I was like, oh, awesome. And then they did that weird, like, pouring the holy water on them and stuff. That was intense.
It's fucked.
No offense to anybody that might want to do that ever. But don't do it, okay?
Don't
get consent.
Get consent. Exactly. That was the problem.
Consent is really important.
And again, I don't know if this was based on her real life. If it was based on her real life, then, yeah, all the more, like, yikes.
Trauma.
But if not, I could see. Just felt a little forced a little bit. But
yeah,
definitely made me feel what I think I was supposed to feel, which was uncomfortable.
Yes, yeah, same. So, like, you know, I just wanted to kind of touch base on the pageant, too, because that really ties in with how they show, like, this town is kind of like a lower class town. Like, people are struggling to make ends meet.
Right.
We can assume it's kind of like one of the smaller towns in Texas. Like, to even get into the Juneteenth pageant, you have to have so much money.
Yeah, definitely.
And you have to have all of this money to get a scholarship that maybe you don't really need if you have all that money to enter in.
Right, yeah.
Right?
Crazy, yes.
It's kind of like a little bit hypocritical in that way, and it's so real. Mm. That's how the real life is, too.
Exactly. Yes, interesting. Yeah, I didn't... Man, I wish they would have delved a little more into that, because, yeah, that's for sure there. That, and then even her boss guy, like, he talks about how, like, it was hard enough for him to get his piece and, you know, make sense why he wants to protect it. I really like how he comes around in the end, though. That I'm really glad he lives, first of all.
I really like that boss guy. Sorry. I thought you were talking about the funeral home guy.
Oh, no, not that guy.
Who, like, that was an interesting character. To be, like, slimy.
Oh.
Because I do find him to... I mean, I know he was charming in his way, but I think
I see.
You know, he was kind of using his position of power be with her. And I thought, for me, one of the best scenes was her, like, shutting it down and saying, no, I need to do for myself.
Yeah, true enough.
And, like, you know, that was like a good, I think that was a good scene. But yeah, her other boss, I loved it. He came around in the end and was like, no, we can make this work. You're right.
Yeah, definitely.
And I'm glad, like, he lived too.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Pretty good, character, pretty good performance. Yeah, definitely. So yeah, I think like, this definitely shows that side pretty well. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
All right, time for our favorites.
Favorite questions. Let's do this.
All right. What was your favorite quote?
So, full disclosure. So, okay. So, I watched this on Amazon. And I'm going to see if I still have it within... I think I get it for 48 hours or something like that. I need to put in the quote here because I forgot to write it down as I'm watching it like I usually do. So,
okay.
And usually they have quotes available on IMDb, but they don't for this one. So I'm going to either insert it here or I will put it at the beginning of the next episode, something like that. But I will say that the quote comes from her boss character, the boss character, where he kind of, you know, hits her with a bit of the harsh reality where it's just like, hey, yeah, there ain't no, like, American dream for black folks. Like,
yes. Yes. Yeah. I love that part, too.
And that's almost because good American enough. But is... What's that?
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say, it's just such an unrealistic thing, too. It's really only for privileged people, like, born into privilege, you know? And so yeah. I think that it's important that he said that.
Yeah. I never want to get that question. It's like, oh, American dream, right? It's like, don't talk about that. The American dream is dead.
Right.
Yeah, let's not talk about that. Yeah. No.
Awesome.
And that's almost good enough. That's like, ain't no American dream for black folks. But then he goes on to like explain like why and stuff. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Awesome. Favorite performance and backup performance, yeah, or bonus performance.
Honorable mention. So favorite performance was our lead who plays Turquoise, Nicole Behaney. Behaney? I thought she did really good. And this was not her first. And I hope that she, yeah, goes on to do more stuff. I thought she was very, even though Turquoise was a frustrating character, like, she was believable in that. And that's all it takes. Like, if it wasn't believable, I wouldn't be as on her side. But as frustrating as I found her, I did have moments of, like, I see where you're coming from. I get why you're making the decisions you're making.
Yes, totally. Totally.
Yeah. And then, I mean, her, the honorable mention would definitely be her daughter, Liz Michael. And I think this is the only performance she's done, which is crazy. Like, she should be in more movies. Good. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Thought she was charming as hell.
Me too. Her little smile is so cute.
Yeah.
Favorite scene.
Favorite scene. So it would be where Kai teaches both her dad and then the mom the dance. I thought that was one of the more improv feeling scenes and definitely one of the more lighthearted moments in the movie. You don't get a whole lot of those. Definitely like, oh, see, this is a family that works. And then maybe not. We'll see.
Maybe not. Yeah.
But yeah, it's like one of the few times I actually kind of liked the dad character, you know.
He's a complex guy. Like, you know, we can see that he's struggling in his own right. But he wants to be there for them because he does love them. But like, he just is.
He's also blatantly making the wrong decisions.
Yeah, he's so set in his like ways that he doesn't know how to change them, and he's not trying super hard to change them.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Yes.
Like when he went to jail for the gator thing, which was ridiculous.
That's so funny. That was well done. I like that. I like that they didn't make it something too serious, but like it's also Texas where, you know, you do run into that shit and like.
Totally.
And again, like, you know, there's a racism thing there too, where it's just like, oh, like this petty crime, like who goes to jail for this shit? Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I think that they did like say that to like bring a little bit of humor, but also to be like, no, but it's real though.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. And so, and when he was there, he was saying like, well, I just got my own shop, like, or something like that. And how he was like, gonna buy his own shop or something, and I like by the end of it I was like, I hope he does, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, I don't definitely
know if he will, but I hope he does.
True enough. Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Would you rewatch, recommend?
Rewatch, just not so much, like, you know, with, and especially
it's a hard rewatch
with indie movies like this too. I'm glad I watched it though. And with that in mind, like, I would recommend it, like, especially if you're looking for a good wholesome movie with that doesn't beat you over the head with some of its educational material. Like, it's a little the opposite of One Night in Miami that really kind of is delving out the education.
Yeah.
This one, it's way more in the background. It's more focused on the...
It's definitely more subtle,
It's more focused on the characters and stuff like that. But so I would recommend it, maybe not rewatch, but yeah.
Awesome. And what would you rate it?
And then I'd rate it a good 3. Yeah. 3 out of 5. Awesome. So yeah, good stuff. I liked it.
Feels about right.
Mm-hmm. All right, so that covers both of our movies. I think it is time to talk about the connections we found between the two. And were you able to find any?
Yeah. So, my connections are both tell a story and burden of being a person of color in the USA.
Yeah.
That's a very obvious connection, but it's an important one because these are set so far apart in time, and yet some of the problems that they're facing are still very much the same.
Yes, true enough.
Both have black female directors.
Yes,
which I thought
you.
Was so awesome.
Yes, that was badass.
And then both show religion and trying to get people to convert into said religion.
Damn.
One in a much better way than the other one.
Yeah. Didn't even think about that. Crazy. Yeah.
What do you got?
So, yeah, both are directed by black women, but they are first time film projects for these black women.
Hell yes.
And I hope we see more from both of them. You know, definitely need it, man. Both are questioning one's responsibility to the community versus the personal wishes of the individual. This is a conflict I love. It's delicious. It's very American. Both are about people pushing their dreams on others. Malcolm kind of on Cassius and Turquoise a bit on Kai.
Absolutely. That's awesome. Yeah. That's a good one.
And so those are the big ones I got. Pretty good
Very
connections.
Cool.
And you're right. I thought I was at first thinking that Miss Juneteenth was going to be set in the 60s and that was going to be another easy connection. Not so much. No.
No, sorry.
Yeah, pulls a fast one on you. Sets the beginning in I don't think it was the 60s though. But yeah.
No.
Yeah. It's 2004. Gen Zers are listening like, what's the difference?
Fuck all of you.
But no, keep listening. No.
Yeah, we love you, actually.
So, all right, our connections are done. You know, if you can think of any connections of your own, or maybe you want to hit us with... Oh, wait, what am I doing? Let's talk about our recommendations first. Getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
You have any recommendations for the fine folks at home?
Yes, I am very excited to recommend a new podcast called Welcome to Our Show.
Wait a second. This wouldn't be the New Girl podcast.
It is, and it's from the New Girl people.
What?
So we're
talking Zooey Deschanel?
Zooey Deschanel, Lamorne Morris, and Hannah Simone,
awesome.
Which are CC. Jess and Winston.
Yes.
And they, in the first episode, they met with the director and had a 30-minute interview with him. And then the rest of the podcast is them just totally bullshitting and talking about how they got the parts.
Oh, cool.
Which I always think is so interesting.
Yeah.
Zooey they had her in mind from the beginning and
I
they approached her.
Yes, I would hope so.
Which is awesome.
Right.
But
that's why it's more interesting how everybody else gets their part, though. Oh, wait,
really
Lamorne must be really interesting because,
it's really fun to hear how Lamorne got his part because he, isn't in the first couple of episodes.
Yep.
or just maybe the first, maybe he's only not in the first one.
I think it's
one.
Just the first one, yeah.
Yeah, and so it's really fun to hear, his process and what happened there because they were originally going to pick him for coach.
Yes.
Which, thank God, they didn't.
No, yeah, it's good that
because
he made his
is
own
thing. Like, he is Winston and Winston is him and it's good. So it's a really it's just so fun to hear them all talk about the show and also to just chat with each other. And they're all
sounds
so funny.
Great. I could use a good podcast.
I love it. I love it so much.
So Zooey's cool though. She's not a raging bitch.
No, she's so nice.
Okay, good. Good, good, good.
She's so nice.
I've heard stories, I feel. I don't know.
She's great.
Who believes anybody anymore?
Yeah, the only thing I've ever heard about her from people is that she is really a quirky person.
Okay,
which,
cool.
To some people, they don't like that, but I think it's fine.
There we go.
And
what's this show called? It's a podcast?
Yes, and it's called Welcome to Our Show.
Ah.
And I listened to it on, I listen to pretty much everything on Google Podcasts. And they actually broke it into two episodes on Google Podcasts. Oh. So if you don't want to listen to like the interview with the director, you can skip that one.
Oh.
But I think that both are great.
I think it's, yeah, one episode on Stitcher or whatever.
Yeah. So, yeah. I think it's one episode on most other platforms. I don't know why Google was like, oh, we're going to split it in two. Hmm. But they did.
Cool. That's fine.
It's great.
Great. And so my recommendation for y'all is going to be a Netflix original animated series called Arcane. Holy crap, did I fall in love with this shit. People are freaking out, you know, nerds out there are like, yes, League of Legends. I have no idea.
I was just going to ask, yeah. Is it League of Legends?
Yes, it's associated with League of Legends. I know nothing. It's great how this came about. I know nothing about League of Legends. I've heard of, you know, League of Legends. Now, yeah. I always thought this was like a Facebook game or something. Like one of, back in the day of those Facebook games and stuff.
Well, it is like, sort of, a lot of people would compare it to World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
Although it's not World of Warcraft, it is different, but
it is.
But yeah, a lot of people, like, I knew people who played World of Warcraft and I knew people who played League of Legends, but mm-hmm. they like never crossed paths.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So there was like some weird rivalry there.
Yeah. It's different. It's definitely not my kind of gaming. So it's the type of, they might have different ways, but the most popular is Battle Royale. Battle mm-hmm. Royale is really big. But I don't like the way they do it where you have to be part of a 5-person team and you have to, and especially if you're filling that with randos, that can get ugly real quick. The gaming world is so fucking toxic. It's not even funny. So I don't like those kinds of things. Like Apex also is like this, where you have to be in a team. And if you don't have, like, if I had 5 people that I could consistently do League of Legends with, cool. Like I'd be into that, but it seems more like these days, the way we work, like you're going to be filling that with randos and it's no fun.
Yeah. Josh used to play it like super religiously. I mean, like every single day.
I feel like I heard it when we were working in the factory together. So yeah.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. Like he stopped playing it really when Fortnite, like when the original beta
for Fortnite whatever.
Came out. Beta, yeah. Whatever it is. Yeah. So like that was, and he would still play League sometimes, but that was when he really cut back on his League.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was just like, he said that there was just so many trolls.
That's what, like, I'm saying. Toxic.
Take it seriously. And he'd be like trying to get his stuff done that he needed to get done. And these trolls would just, you know, ruin everything.
Yeah.
And
that's
so
what
he,
I'm talking
like,
about.
Moved,
yeah.
Yeah. So he like moved sort of more into Fortnite and then like became an expert in Fortnite and was like playing Fortnite for a long time.
Right. Yep.
And now he's back on the Call of Duty train. But he loves League of Legends. We actually have a League of Legends board game.
Oh, cool. I wouldn't mind checking that out.
It's so fun.
Oh, good. Oh, yeah, we'll definitely check that out then, because now I'm into, so never been into League of Legends, but from what I see, I love the imagery. I love the world.
It's beautiful.
I like, the artwork is great. It seems to have, yeah, really good lore, like I said. Like, I got a book on the world because I wanted to know more about it. Because this series called Arcane, made by Netflix, really interesting animation style. It's definitely, you know, 3D animation, but they utilize 2D at moments, and I love things that do that.
Yeah.
And just really, really good entertaining stuff. Very progressive at points, which I love fantasy stuff that does that.
Me too.
They picked the right world to focus on because League of Legends is a very big world. Like, they have very, very many regions and so forth. They picked the right one to focus on. And, the two main characters are awesome, and I found a character to really rally behind, you know, in Vi, who's a scrapper. I love a scrapper.
Yeah.
So highly recommend Arcane, Netflix original series. Unfortunately, only 9 episodes out at the moment, but we are getting a season 2.
Excellent.
Yeah. Highly recommend. Like, I nerded out. Like, I binged it when I watched. I was like, might as well check it out. Just because I think it was recommended through a streamer I watched. And I was like, let's see what all the fuss is about. I was like, fuck yeah, I love this shit.
Yeah, this is the shit.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And especially coming off the heels of Attack on Titan, which I'm fully caught up on and is getting insane. Don't even get me started on that. I needed Arcane. It's like, okay, good. Something else to put my energy into. Awesome. Solid recommendations. Again, if you have recommendations of your own, you can send them our way via email, which our email is
movieconnectionpodcast@gmail.com.
Let us know how we're doing. Just say hey, whatever. Give us a rate and review on Apple Podcasts. That would be most appreciated.
Yes.
You can follow us on Instagram at the movie connection, all one word. Or you can follow us individually, me at Jacob Bean Watson.
And me at Casey Schwartz.
We also have a Facebook and all that good stuff. Let's see. Apple Podcasts. Oh, I do reviews on Letterboxd, so check me out on Letterboxd if you like.
Yeah.
And without further ado, I think it is time to assign each other the movies for next week, right?
Yes, it's time.
All right. So this is going to be Valentine's week. That's right. I said Valentine's. No.
Yep.
No, it's Valentine's. It's I know.
Valentine's?
Valentine's.
Valentine's?
Valentine's? Oh boy. No.
I'm just teasing you.
with that in mind, I think we're shifting into more, romantically minded, if you will, lovey-dovey, whatever type.
Mine is a straight-up romance.
Straight-up romance.
I'm excited.
All right. What you got?
I'm assigning you Pride and Prejudice.
It's time. Really?
It's
time.
Wow.
For Valentine's week. Does it qualify?
Is there anything more romantic than the love between
aristocrats
and Darcy?
Really? Well, I guess I'm about to find out. Well, good. I might try to work in the... I've been waiting for this. So now I'm going to force in the BBC miniseries and the movie just to get the comparisons going.
All right.
Similar to what I did with Little Women, let's be honest.
Yeah. I'm curious.
Which order should I go, though? Should I go BBC show first, then Keira Knightley? Or which would you say?
I'm really curious which you're going to like more.
Yeah.
Because the BBC version with Colin Firth has such a cult-like following among the Pride and Prejudice lovers.
Yes.
But I love Keira Knightley so much.
Right.
And I like the movie a lot. I don't know. I haven't watched the BBC one in a long time, so maybe I might do that too.
Yeah, cool.
I think I would watch the movie first and then go into the show.
I think that's fair because I could watch the...
First taste of it should be the movie.
Exactly. Cool. Works for me.
Hell yeah.
So Pride and Prejudice. All right. And then for you, I am this is going to be so juicy. This is going to be a good episode, folks. All right. Blue Valentine.
Blue, hold up. With,
With Michelle Williams. Michelle Williams and, what's his fucking name?
Fuck, I'm so sorry.
What's his fucking name from The Notebook? Ryan Gosling.
It's a Ryan. I know it's
he's
Ryan.
An actually good actor.
Oh my god, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry.
Have you seen it?
Of course.
Damn it.
You recommended it to me like 6 years ago and I watched it.
It's a great movie. And it was the movie that
it is so great.
It was the movie that got me saying it's like, okay, no, Ryan Gosling. People might be onto something. He might be a good actor, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. It was the first like serious role that I ever saw him do, or more, different than what he was doing before.
Fucking good movie. Okay, folks, this hardly ever happens, but here we go. All right, I'm gonna have to roll with it and try to pick a pick another one. Okay. I'm gonna go with. Okay, cool. So you're doing your classical romantic story. Romance. I'll give you my classic romantic story, and it's called It Happened One Night.
Awesome.
It is called It Happened One Night. This is directed by one of my favorite directors of all time, Mr. Frank Capra, who is responsible for a little movie called It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, like, this has been on my watch list for a long time.
I believe it.
I haven't watched it.
This is also, I would say this might have, so I think there were screwball comedies, which are what we would regard as rom-coms today. They were called screwball comedies, and I believe It Happened One Night was the shift where it was like, okay, screwball comedies are done, now we're into rom-com. This is romantic comedy now.
Yeah.
I feel like it's where it shifted. It was the When Harry Met Sally of its time.
It's really funny that you say that, because in the New Girl podcast, they talk about screwball comedies and rom-coms.
Fuck yeah.
In that first episode of the podcast. It's really fun.
Do they mention It Happened One Night?
So it's really funny because Lamorne was like, well, we're going to play rapid fire True American with rom-coms. Everybody's going to say the first rom-com they can think of.
Okay.
And they would each name like a newer normal one. And then Zoe would name one from like 1940.
Yeah. Some obscure. Yeah.
So, I don't remember if this was one of them that she said, but I know she like said Shop Around the Corner, which is a really old.
I tried that one. Couldn't get into it. I might try again, but yeah, I've heard people like that one. Well, cool. This is going to be a great for Valentine's week. So we got Pride and Prejudice and It Happened One Night. This is going to be fun. Let's find some connections here. All right, folks. Well, thank you for joining us, and hopefully you will join us for Valentine's week.
Yes.
And tune in.
Bye.
Now get out of here. Bye.